Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, the headline on Bloomberg Businessweek. Good news on healthcare spending is making U.S. GDP look bad. Let's talk about it with Diane Brady from Bloomberg Businessweek. Hi, Diane. Welcome back to WNYC.
Nice to be here, Brian.
What's the good news on healthcare spending?
Well, basically, we had predicted, or the government, had predicted it would go up 10%. Instead, it went down almost 1.5%. And of course, that led to the very disturbing and very dramatic GDP drop that everybody was talking about yesterday. So I think that that is nobody likes to spend on healthcare unless perhaps it's your Fitbit and maybe a bionic arm or something. But by and large, this is not spending you want to do, and it's not the kind of spending that leads to greater productivity for the most part. So I think it's good news.
So does this mean the Affordable Care Act is producing, well, affordable care?
I don't know. I think what it says in part is that it's unclear, really, you know, how difficult it is to predict healthcare spending right now. So much of it is affected by how many people have been basically coming on to these exchanges. I think there's been a lot of confusion, as we've talked about before, around really sort of how the Affordable Care Act will impact a number of different sectors, employers, et cetera. So I think it's more that we're in a state of uncertainty. There's no question I think healthcare costs are going to go up. There's a number of reports that are pivoting in that direction. But at the moment, I think it says in part that, you know, these are difficult times to predict healthcare spending. And for the most part, when you're looking at the GDP, it gives you some comfort that one of the biggest factors in that drop really was something that people like to see.
In fact, the government had predicted a slight rise in healthcare spending in the first quarter. Instead, we got this multi-billion-dollar decline. I guess that's a pretty good indication that even the Obama administration is having trouble predicting the impact of Obamacare.
Which is not unusual given how hard it was for them to predict usage and predict things like having these exchanges crash and such. This is a very ambitious plan. It's transformative. It's something that employers themselves are unsure when you talk to CEOs and such about what they anticipate their health care costs will be. I think that there's a lot of uncertainty out there. So not surprising. I think what is surprising is the gap, certainly. You wouldn't have expected them to be off by this much.
How specific can we get from these numbers about who is spending less on what kind of health care? Just analyze where they did come from in the first quarter.
Well, I think that there has been just lower consumption in general, so I think that clearly has been a factor. There's been, for actually quite a few quarters, increased productivity. When you look at the impact that technology is having on health care, I'll give you one example. I was speaking to somebody at the Mayo Clinic where, in fact, they will use things like your iPhone, which can be converted into the equivalent of an EKG. That is a much lower cost device, obviously, than buying EKGs. So I think when you look at what the impact is of technology in terms of reducing healthcare spending costs, that's one thing. But I think what it really is right now is it's a consumption issue. It's that people are just sort of getting to understand the new system. They're not consuming as much. We, in some ways, have a lot of younger people coming into the workforce. The average age now in the country is 23. That's not average age, excuse me. That is the most popular age. I think millennials coming into the workforce, to some extent, actually has been very good for employers, again, in some of those employer health care costs. So I think that it's very hard to tell. I wouldn't read too much into this one quarter in the same way I wouldn't read too much into this drop in GDP number being indicative of the U.S. suddenly being on the precipice of another recession. It's not. I think you have to stand back and look at it as a moment of transition and to see it for what it is, which is that there's a lack of clarity around how the Affordable Care Act is going to play out.
We're talking about a surprising decline in U.S. health care spending, causing a contraction in the overall U.S. economy in the first quarter of this year. Questions, comments, stories, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. George in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking the call. I think the guest may have come close to answering this question, but the question are the things that the people are consuming, operations, hospital stays, are they less expensive in terms of price? Or are things just people just can't afford to buy them, and so they're not spending the money?
I think it's more toward the former. In fact, one of the things about the Affordable Care Act is that you do put a cap on prices. There's a lot more pressure on prices, not just because of compensation rates. I think there's more pressure because of the technology. I think that, you know, it really is transforming a lot of the costs, even things like electronic health records, for example. When you start to look at the degree to which that's now sort of mandatory, national, across the board, that really does lower costs. It eliminates a lot of waste.
George, thank you. That's pretty interesting what you said a minute ago about 23-year-olds being the biggest single age group in the United States at this point. And there was another article about how these 23-year-olds are actually starting to find jobs now at a higher rate, millennials in general, starting to move out of their parents' basements more and into the workforce. Are you seeing this in your reporting?
Yeah, very much so. In fact, I think much better to be 23 than to be 27. You know, to have graduated, I think, at the beginning of the financial crisis is not a good place to be. But it is one thing that differentiates us from Europe and Japan, for example. Those economies have been stagnant in part because they didn't have the baby boom that the U.S. had during the 80s and 90s, which really has created this massive generation of millennials who have lower health care costs, who pay taxes, who essentially are always a net asset to your economy and tend to drive your economic growth up. So, yes, I think that's been a big factor. And you know, if you're, I think the average median income for a 22-year-old was $30,000 last year. That's higher than people in older brackets, 26, 27. So I think by and large, it's a good place to be.
Sarah in Newton, New Jersey. You're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
How you doing?
Okay. What's your story?
Well, I'm very frustrated because I really was happy that the Affordable Care Act came into being. And I moved to New Jersey a little while ago, and in between a career, I've taken a waitress job. And at the moment, with the new structure that the insurance companies put into place, I am having to pay $800 a month for mediocre health care, and that's basically every penny I earn.
Is that through an Affordable Care Act exchange policy?
Well, we don't have Affordable Care exchanges here in New Jersey. They have...
Well, there's the federal exchange that you can access in New Jersey. But that's not where you got your health insurance.
Well, no. I've gone through an insurance company because the exchanges that I found in New Jersey were even more expensive than the health care through my husband's company.
Pretty frustrating, absolutely frustrating. Diane, I don't know if from your experience reporting on the ACA whether you have any advice for Sarah, but the stories that we were getting when the sign-up deadline was approaching were all over the map and included things like this, that somebody might look at an Affordable Care Act policy and find that it's actually more expensive than, you know, this $800 a month thing she's getting off the exchange in some other way. So it's really complicated.
It is complicated. And I think that, you know, one other factor to consider is that a lot of younger people, for example, had gone uninsured previously. So that, you know, in part because they would look at the costs and think, who needs it? The people who've really benefited, I think, most from the Affordable Care Act are those people with pre-existing conditions, people who really would have had a tough time getting insurance to some extent unless it was employer-based insurance. And certainly employers have benefited as well because they're able to offload a lot of those costs. But I think overall, I mean, the challenge just in general, if we step back, is that the U.S. healthcare system tends to rank very low on global rankings when it comes to efficiency, and certainly ranks very high when it comes to cost. And that's something that when you're an individual paying those costs, you see. So it is unaffordable for a lot of people. And I think that that's the long-term trend, though, is to keep those costs under control, to sort of increase efficiency. The more people you have in the system, the more you're able to spread out the costs. But some of the individual stories really are, especially if you have a condition, I think it's a very expensive place to be sick, the USA.
And I think Sarah's story suggests a question, which is if spending on health care slowed in the first quarter of this year, as the story reports, maybe it didn't slow in terms of the premiums that people pay for health insurance.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of where it slowed essentially was, first of all, people were not, they may have been signing on, but they weren't accessing the healthcare system. And sometimes that can reflect a shrinking economy. Sometimes it can reflect, a reticence to take part in elective procedures and such. But I think a lot of the reduction in the spending has really come through hospital systems and doctors and not the individual purchaser per se. So, I think at this point, when we look at people like Sarah, I think most people, especially as individuals, and I've talked to a lot who are, especially the freelancers and such, it's still a very, very expensive proposition to cover yourself for health care insurance. And it's better now than it was, but it's not that affordable for a lot of people, and they are, by and large, reticent when you look at some of the deductibles to take part in the healthcare system. If they can avoid it, they do, and that's not good for the nation as a whole because much cheaper to get something early, as we know, than to deal with it down the road when it's a much bigger problem.
My guest on WNYC, Diane Brady, senior editor for Bloomberg Businessweek, as we talk about the good news of reduced spending on healthcare in the United States, making the U.S. GDP look bad, the bad news that largely because of this healthcare spending decline, the economy as a whole contracted in the first quarter of this year. Jerry in Piscataway, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jerry.
Hi. So my question is, I think it was on Marketplace last night, in talking about the GDP, I think they were attributing a significant segment of that to the weather of this last quarter. And I know I work at a medical center where if we have a bad weather day, we can lose $1 million in billings a day. How do you tease out the various factors?
It's a great question. And right, the harsh winter that we had, which covered the first quarter of this year, Diane, healthcare spending wasn't the only factor in this economic contraction nationwide, right?
No, it wasn't. I think the term polar vortex is now indelibly etched in all of our minds because we've lived through the miserable winter. We want summer to stay as long as possible. The reality is that, normally weather is a factor, but it's not that big a factor in a quarterly GDP number. And I think that even if you sort of look at weather and health care, there were other negative factors. There was investment, the export situation. We certainly did not have the exports we wanted because the rest of the world is not that healthy, not as healthy as the U.S. in terms of their economies, not buying our stuff, fixed investment. I mean, there's so many different factors at play. I think weather was certainly harsher, especially here in the Northeast, but net-net, it shouldn't have had that big an influence on this big a drop. And I think part of what surprises people is that we didn't see it coming. I think that's really what the shock is normally we should be pretty good at predicting these things. This is being off by quite a bit.
And this is the biggest decline in the economy in one quarter since the beginning of the financial crisis when the bottom was falling out. So should we be alarmed?
No, I don't think we should, because you look at some of the other factors at play, and it tends to be pointing in the right direction. There were some numbers out this morning. Consumer spending is up, maybe not as much as we thought, but it continues to go up. We talked about what's happening with the millennials, this very big generation of by and large healthy, you know, nimble, lean, well-educated people coming into the workforce. That will tend to be a boom. We've talked a lot, I think, just in general about what's happening with the U.S. in terms of energy costs because of fracking. You may not like it. We may have to deal with the environmental costs down the road, but at the moment it's been very good for the U.S. economy. So I think that I'm not that alarmed. I think the markets were not that alarmed, and that's always your big indication. If the stock market really takes a drastic drop, that shows investors have lost confidence, and I don't think they have.
And I see the predictions, and you mentioned this before, are for faster healthcare spending in the second quarter, because this is when a lot of people's new Obamacare policies are actually kicking in, and so they'll be spending money that they weren't spending before to get the actual health care with those copays and deductibles and everything. So if the lower spending was bad for the economy, will more health care spending be good?
Well, I think on the raw numbers, technically, yes. And that's why GDP, I think, is sometimes a bit of a I'm not misguided measure, but it's a bit of a blunt instrument. I mean, what really makes people feel the economy's improving is the job situation, wage growth, their confidence that they've got a career that's sustainable. I mean, that's something I think if you had to look at where the real indicators are of economic health, it's how much money are people spending, how much are businesses investing, and how many jobs are being created. And that's really, I think, where Americans, that's how they feel healthy when they invest in real estate, when they buy homes. GDP is certainly a good measure, but it's one that incorporates so many different factors that some of which, frankly, like with healthcare spending, don't necessarily indicate economic health.
And it's a paradox because we call more healthcare spending bad, but then again, it's good that more Americans have coverage and can get that healthcare. So I think we have a good bad labeling problem.
I think so, and I think also the impact that technology is going to have in this industry is profound, and I think that demographics is always a factor too. Older populations cost more money. I think the obesity rates have actually been moving in a more positive direction. The healthier people are, the less they are a drain on the system. At the same time, sometimes there are blips where getting people from here to there can be an expensive procedure. So I think you have to look at sort of drill down a little bit as to where people are spending their money and how. And by and large, the more people who are covered by health care insurance, the better for the economy as a whole.
The headline on Bloomberg Business Week, good news on health care spending is making U.S. GDP look bad. Diane Brady, senior editor for Bloomberg Business Week, thank you so much.
Thank you.